So we're going to dig into Psalm chapter 8. Will you just pray with me for a moment? Heavenly Father, we are so glad that we get this time in your word right now. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit would reveal your truth to us. I pray that you'd give me your words and that you'd guide everything I say, Lord. That our ears would be open, our hearts would be open. And we're excited to hear what you have to say tonight, Lord Jesus. Amen. So Psalm chapter 8 is awesome. And I'm going to sing, you know, the Psalms are songs, right? So I'm not going to sing the whole thing. I'm not feeling that courageous. But the first and the last verse actually are a somewhat famous worship song, right? So I'll sing to start and sing to end because it's a psalm, and I'll read in the middle. All right, so Psalm chapter 8, here we go. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Who have set your glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So the introduction, which I did not sing, it says, to the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, a psalm of David. So we're given some musical instructions there, which I did not follow. I apologize. And we also are given that it's a psalm of David. And about half of the psalms are psalms of David, including this one. And so it begins, O Lord, our Lord. And so that, right, that first Lord is in all caps. And what does that mean? What does that mean, all caps, Lord? What is that in the Hebrew? Anyone know? Yahweh. I heard you. Perfect. You said Yahweh.
No, I did not.
Oh, sorry. You said Yahweh. Ah, you did say it. Oh. Okay, Trinette said it. Yahweh. Thank you, Trinette. It was the voice of the Lord, or Trinette. No. It refers to Yahweh. So all caps, Lord. Lord, our Lord. And so that second Lord is the Hebrew word Elohim. And so the word Elohim, that is a plural form of God. And it's in the plural, and that plural form reminds the reader of the sovereignty of God. I mean, we know that the Hebrew God is one God, but he is so sovereign that, in a sense, he's many. We know he is many. He's Father, Son, and Spirit, right? And so that Elohim is plural in the Hebrew. And so then we have that word, how excellent is your name. And so the other translations have excellent or majestic or magnificent or awesome. So that's a powerful word. And I wonder what comes to your mind when you hear those words, majestic, excellent, magnificent, awesome. What comes to your mind? Amen. Anything else? Any image or picture? Royalty? Cool. Awesome. Anything else? I think of the Trinity Alps. Anyone been to the Trinity Alps? Those mountains are majestic, beautiful, amazing. And God is excellent, majestic, magnificent, amazing. And it says, how excellent is your name in all the earth? And a name meant a lot in the ancient Near East, in the Middle East where Israel was. A name was connected to a reputation, right? So there was these family names, the names of your clan, your tribe, and that name came with a reputation. And so David in this verse is saying, wow, what an awesome, majestic, magnificent reputation you have, God. And it's a reputation not just here in Israel, but in all the earth, everywhere. And at that time, that was a bold statement because every region in that area, the region had their own little g god, right? And each little g god had a reputation. And that reputation would depend on, you know, battles and, you know, did the god help them win the battle and things like that. And we see here that Yahweh's reputation was greater and went farther than any little g god. We see this in Psalm 46:10. I'm going to read that before we continue. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So God has this huge reputation, not just in Israel, but around the earth. Next part of verse 1, who have set your glory above the heavens. So to see God's glory, one only has to look into the night sky. You know, look at the moon, look at the stars, the creation of God. And in that, we see the glory of God. And so the heavens, they speak, although they speak silently, they don't make any sound, but they speak silently of God's glory. And they've done that for generations, for thousands of years. The heavens have spoken of God's glory. Verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. So there is a connection here between what comes out of the mouths of children and babies, and there's a connection to God's enemies being silenced. And as I studied this psalm, I at first struggled to make the connection between babies crying and God's enemies being silenced. So what is that connection? Well, we know that it takes strength for children to speak or for babies to cry. That shows strength. And where does that strength come from? It comes from God, the Creator, the giver of life. And we know that God's enemies are seeking to kill and destroy God's people. We see that John 10:10. I'll just start by reading the first half of John 10:10. We'll get to the second half, but let's start with the first half. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. So that's what the enemy seeks to do to us, to steal, to kill, to destroy. So how then does the crying of a baby silence the enemy? Well, the crying of a baby speaks of God's strength, and it speaks of the life that God gives. You know, you can imagine, if you will, a newborn baby. And usually, shortly after a baby is born, what do? Besides poop or pee? They cry. Yes, they cry. And that cry is a sign of strength. That's a good thing. Like, the nurses are happy when that baby cries. That's a sign of strength. And so the enemy wants to kill or destroy that baby before it's born. And sometimes, unfortunately, he succeeds in that. But every time a baby cries, it's a testimony of God's strength. So then the second half of John 10:10 speaks of that, speaks of God's strength. Let me read that. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So Jesus is the giver of life, not of death, right? Praise God for that. He gives life. Verse 3 and 4. Back to Psalm 8. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? I wonder, when was the last time that you got a good look at the night sky, at the moon and the stars? Has anyone gotten to witness a good star show recently? Okay, the moon is beautiful sometimes when we can see it. Yeah. I recently had the opportunity to be in the Lost Coast Wilderness, a place called Needle Rock, and it was amazing. We got a really good. It was clear. The wind was blowing, so there wasn't too many clouds, and we got an amazing star show. That's a little, you know, that's like by Shelter Cove. There's not a lot there, so not a lot of light pollution, and just really to be there and to see that the stars in the sky is just an awesome reminder of God, the Creator. And when we see the expanse of the universe, it reminds us of God's majestic creation, and it also reminds us of how small we are as humans. You know, we feel really small when you look at the vast universe. It makes us seem almost insignificant. There's that reference in verse 4. It says, what is man? And then a little bit later, the son of man. And both of those references, although they are masculine, they're referring to humanity. Male and female, to humankind in that verse. So he's kind of like, what is humanity? We are so small in comparison to the enormity of God's creation. And yet, verse 5, for you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. So although it can feel like we are small and insignificant, the reality is that God has given us a special status and role in his creation. And for some reason, as humans, we tend to feel this need to be significant, to matter. You know, I think that God puts that in us, in the human race, that we want to be significant. And these verses here speak about the truth of our significance, that God made us a little lower than the angels, it says. So that the Hebrew word there is, again, it's Elohim. And Elohim can refer to the angels. It can also refer to God. So there's different translations. We'll have different word. Some say the angels, some say God. But either way, the verse says we are not God. we are not angels. We are not heavenly beings. But nonetheless, we are immensely significant. It says, and that's clear in the second part of verse 5, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. So we humans, we've been given royal status. We've been given dominion, it says in this psalm. We've been given dominion and authority over God's creation. Right? Who is at the top of the food chain on planet Earth? We are. Yes. Who is the most dangerous beast on the Earth? We are. Yes. And hopefully this reality gives us a good sense of responsibility and of stewardship. Because having a sense of dominion and authority without a sense of responsibility and stewardship is dangerous. And it leads to hurt and to death and to destruction. And we can look at Ukraine today, and we can see this playing out, where someone has a sense of dominion and authority without a sense of responsibility and stewardship. And it's causing so much destruction, so much death and hurt. So that's a very real recent example of having that sense of dominion and authority without responsibility and stewardship behind it. And so a good verse that talks about that responsibility is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. So God did not put Adam in the garden to destroy it. He put him in the garden to tend it and to keep it. And that verse, I think, says a lot about our responsibility, that, you know, we're not here to destroy the earth. We're here to tend it and to keep it. So then in verse 9, the psalm ends where it started. It repeats the opening line. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. So we know that the Psalms are poetry. And so this is a very poetic way to end, right? You end with where you started. How poetic. And it's another reminder of how excellent and majestic and magnificent and awesome is the God that we serve, the God of Israel and the God of all the earth. And so tonight, we barely scratched the surface of how awesome God is. you know, we haven't even talked about Jesus, right? And, you know, that God didn't leave us. He sent his son, Jesus, to come to live among us, to die, right, as a sacrifice for our sin, and to rise from the dead, to give us new life, to eternal life. How awesome is God that he cared that much, you know, about us little humans, us little people here on earth. He gave his son for us, for you, for me, and for even for those who haven't figured that out yet, who need him, who need to know his love. And so there is no more fitting response to knowing who God is, right? To know God's majesty, his excellence. There's no more fitting response than to praise him. And so we're gonna do that. I'm gonna pray, and then we're gonna praise before we go. All right, will you pray with me? Father, we can honestly and just with all of our hearts just say, you are awesome. Lord, you are majestic. You are excellent and worthy of praise. God, we thank you, Lord, for the stars and the moon that even today and all the noise and pollution of this world, that we can still hear that voice that speaks silently, Lord. We can still see sometimes the majesty of the moon, of the stars, and we can know and remember that you created it, God. It didn't just appear. You put it there. You put us here. And so, God, we just give you glory. We give you praise. God, we thank you, Lord, for the life that you give, Lord. And may we remember every time we hear a child, every time we hear a baby cry, may we remember your strength, Lord, that silences the enemy. And God, we cry out for this world, Lord, for more of you, for more of your majesty, and that you would be glorified, Lord, and you would be lifted high, Lord. And we just pray against the enemy, against his schemes. And Lord, we thank you that we have been made righteous by Jesus' blood. Lord, that we've been adopted into your family because of Jesus and what he did for us. We're so thankful, God, and we just thank you that we can praise you tonight. And Lord, as we sing this song, Lord, just we give you our hearts, we give you our attention, and we just want you to be glorified. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.